Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It on WNYC. Often on this show, we like to look at the intersection of culture and the culture. And the reimagining of the ancient Greek tragedy into a modern one fits the bill. It's called Antigone and Ferguson, written in the wake of Michael Brown's death in 2014. As a collaboration with Ferguson community members, the play is a translation of Sophocles' Antigone, a story, as this production puts it, about, quote, what happens when personal conviction and state law crash. The two sides are represented by Antigone, a woman who wants to give her brother and the former king Polynices a burial after his death, and Creon, her brother's successor to the throne, forbids it. Here's a clip from its performance at the Harlem stage.
Since the death of our father Oedipus, it seems like the gods have set aside only shame and suffering for his survivors. Sister, have you heard?
I'm not sure I can take any more bad news.
Well, I wanted you to hear it from me first. That's why I brought you outside.
You seem really upset. What is it, Antigone?
Creon has declared only one of our brothers worthy of burial. Eteocles will be laid beneath the earth with proper honors. But as for Polynices, Creon has proclaimed that no one may touch his body. He has been left for the birds.
I am sorry to hear that.
The punishment for anyone who violates this law will be execution by public stoning.
Creon is serious.
So am I.
The show had a brief run at the Harlem stage last fall, and now it opens today at St. Anne and the Holy Trinity Church in Brooklyn, presented in partnership between the Theater of War Productions and the Brooklyn Public Library. And guess what? It's free. It features a rotating cast, and for the opening performance, the role of Creon's son, Haman, will be played by New York's public advocate, Jumaane Williams. He joins us now along with Brian Dorries, the artistic director and co-founder of the Theater of War Productions, who directed and translated the play. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
When did this develop? How did this develop? It's so interesting.
So the short version of the story is that Theater of War Productions have been doing work in Missouri with a whole slew of projects, three or four projects, and we'd earned a lot of trust and gained a lot of connections in the state. And so when Michael Brown was killed, we got a call, and it was from a speechwriter from the governor of Missouri, and she attended the church where Michael Brown's memorial took place, and she said, knowing your work, do you have an idea for a play that might help generate healing and connection? Not now, but maybe 6 months, a year from now. And that was the challenge. That was the request, and it was the hardest challenge we'd ever received, the most, you know, the most vexing challenge. But we decided we had to do this as a collaboration with people on the ground in Ferguson and St. Louis. So we cast about looking for collaborators, and we found a musical director and a composer who was a middle school choir teacher, a choir director who also had connections to the police department, to activists, to Michael Brown's teachers. And I called him on the phone, cold called him, and I said, listen, we have a date in 30 days to present Antigone in Ferguson. We have Samira Wiley attached to play Antigone. Reggie Cathy attached to play Creon. Can you write 45 minutes of music to the choruses of Antigone in 30 days? And there was a long pause on the end of the line, and then the rest was history. We premiered the project on the stage that Michael Brown graduated from at Normandy High School with his teachers in the cast, with his friends and community members in the audience and on our panel. And since then, we've toured the country, and we've taken it all the way to Athens and back. Now we're delighted to be back in Brooklyn where we sort of germinated the idea.
Part of that story I like is you should always ask, right?
Right.
No matter how hard the ask is, always make the ask.
Also, I think the other takeaway is that sometimes, because Phil had never composed that much music in his life, sometimes we just need a deadline.
That too. Jumaane, how did you get involved with this project?
Well, you know, acting is my first love. Many people don't know that. And actually, generally when I'm on stage, my tics and my Tourette's subside. It's a very zen place. The Brooklyn Public Library told me they were doing something around Greek tragedy and violence, gun violence in particular, and they wanted me to sit on the panel. And I said, that's great. You know, I act too. I would love to take a part.
You are an actor. I act too.
So to my surprise, Brian gave me a shot. I'm still not sure why, but he believed me, and he gave me a shot, and it kind of merged my two worlds in an excellent way, and thankfully, I've been able to do it for the past couple of years.
Why is Greek tragedy a good vehicle to talk about something that is so difficult and so painful as Michael Brown's death?
So for the last 10 years, we've been presenting Greek tragedies in places like prisons, military bases, hospitals, addiction clinics. And what we've learned in performing Greek tragedies in the middle of red state America and mega churches and also in public housing projects in New York City is that if we can push hard enough on the extremity of the emotions that are at the center of these plays, then no matter what divides us, that shared discomfort that's generated mm-hmm. by the plays unites us in a way that's kind of amazing and magical. Beyond our politics, beyond what divides us in this country is also a shared pain, even if we're not aware of it. And so the objective is not for everyone to end with a kind of group hug. The objective of all of our work is to create the conditions for dialogue that wouldn't happen otherwise. And so one of the notes I give the actors, I don't have to give it to Jemani, is make them wish they'd never come. Not by boring them to death, not by bad acting, but by going past what would be appropriate at the Public Theater or Lincoln Center to something that cannot be consumed. Something actually that's so uncomfortable that people in the audience for a moment are scanning for the exits. And then if you've experienced trauma, if you've experienced loss, grief, betrayal, you've loved, we've already moved the room, the walls of the room back far enough. And we've basically said by way of these performances, the actors have gone here, you can meet us halfway. And that's how the conversation starts. So Greek tragedy is a tool. It's not, we're not proselytizing Western culture. We're not interested in people reading classics. Like, our objective is to use these tragedies to communalize trauma. And I think that's how they were used in the ancient world. And we sort of lost touch with how they work.
And I want to say also, because one, it's not a lecture. So I think that helps a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that the play is distant enough from everybody that they don't have to feel like they're immediately attached to it until they see it, until they start getting into the conversation. And I think that's helpful.
Your character, you're playing Haman.
Yes, it's one of them, yeah.
Yeah, tell me who. Tell me about him.
Haman is the son of Creon, and he's originally trying to save his soon-to-be bride, and I think he really tries to plead with his dad, who's, I think, more consumed about his power and the letter of the law, and doesn't work out. And then I think he tries to match wits with his dad in a way, try to gain... to gain the city on his side and the people on his side, thinking he can match. But Creon still is just refusing to budge. Mm. It takes a very tragic twist.
Yeah, the version I saw online had Chris Noth.
Yes, he'll be here this week.
Oh, yeah, fabulous.
Yeah. Yes,
oh,
please come.
You're really, really good in it. Jemima, we're putting you on the spot.
Yep.
You're going to perform a little bit?
I am. Let me just get a quick drink of water.
While he's drinking the water, I just want to say one thing, which is this project is not about being a show or representing a truth, is about the truth. And the fact that Jemani is public advocate is germane to the production, just like members of the choir were close to Michael Brown.
Right.
That for everyone in the production, every word is true and the stakes are high. And I think Haman, and you're about to hear this speech, is the public advocate of archaic Thebes in this play.
All right. Jemani Williams as Haman from Antigone in Ferguson.
Father, the greatest gift that men can receive from the gods is good sense. I cannot fault a thing you just said. It all makes sense. Only you are not in a position, like me, to hear the kinds of things people are saying in the city. Many of your citizens mourn for this girl, saying that she does not deserve to die for such a noble deed. They view what she did not as a crime, but as an act of heroism. For when her brother lay unburied, she did not leave him to be torn apart by scavenging dogs, but risked her life to put him in the ground. These are the words on the streets. I wanted you to know. For me, I only wish to see you become the greatest king Thebes has ever known. There is no greater joy for a son than to see his father succeed, and vice versa. So I hope you will weigh what I have told you against the things you have just said and change your mind. You are a wise man. But even the wisest of men is not ashamed to learn new things.
Jemani, what about that passage really speaks to you?
You know, I like the fact that he first attempted to really reason with his dad and plead to a sense of sensibility. And he mixed in there really smartly also his sense of being king, that your own citizens are saying this. You're concerned about this, but listen to what they're saying. You probably can't hear them. I'm on the ground. I'm in the streets. You're kind of up here, and I'm telling you what's going on. And then, you know, saying that I want you to be an awesome king. Like, I don't want anything to happen to you. I'm your son. So hopefully you just take all of this. And I really think at toward the end of that, that he really believed he would have started to sway his father.
What do you think about that passage when you
hear there are several ways it's working. I mean, mm-hmm. I agree with everything Jumaane's saying. And I also think it's significant that Jumaane is in a position to represent the word on the streets mm-hmm. to power in our city and in our country. And so that's how the project works. It is both a play and it's a meeting. It's a ritual of mourning and of resistance and of hope. And it's a service and it's a discussion. But it's not a performance in the strict sense of the word where you come and you see Antigone and Ferguson and you check the box and now I'm woke. And mm-hmm. it's you know, it's not to be consumed. It's to be wrestled with. And some nights it gets really hard to hear what people say. And some nights people say really not so nice things about us as performers. But the room can hold it all. And it's really about creating the conditions where the word on the streets can be heard.
I got to say, that line, I was just surprised to see it in such ancient text. This is the word on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that really took me aback when I first read it. Like, oh, this has been around for a minute.
For a while.
Been wrestling with this.
My guests are Jumaane Williams and Brian Dorries. We're talking about Antigone in Ferguson, which is going to be on starting tonight through July 13th at St. Anne in the Holy Trinity Church in Brooklyn. It is free. You know, you were talking about how people react in the room. Is it the second act is some? It's like a talk back? Is that the way it works?
Yeah, we've banned the word talk back.
Oh, sorry.
But no, it's okay.
A discussion?
It's a campaign we're launching right here to get rid of that word because in the theater, a talk back prioritizes the play over the discussion. For us, it's one thing. The discussion is the performance. In fact, it's the real performance because after the actors have taken the risk, I mean, Jumaane's got a book in his hand and he's had a couple rehearsals and he's just trying to make mm-hmm. sense of this in front of the audience. It's not polished. He's making mistakes. That's part of the process. We're going to ask the same thing of the audience. Get up, say something you've never said before. Take the risk of not sounding brilliant. Actually respond from your heart and your gut to what you just heard in the room. So there's a performance and there's a chorus of people that includes oppositional perspectives, activists, members of the faith community, educators, Michael Brown's teachers, and police officers. This week we'll have 5 NYPD police officers alongside 3 St. Louis police officers who are part of the choir, alongside Jumaane Williams, who mm-hmm. can be said to be one of the greatest critics of the New York City police. And that's critical to model a kind of democratic coming together. And that's what happens in the second part.
Sounds like almost like meeting, like Quaker meeting.
It's a Quaker meeting.
Yeah.
It's where the spirit moves you. I facilitate discussions with other facilitators. We don't ask follow-up questions. It's not about putting people on the spot or coercing people to narrate their trauma. It is about creating the conditions where people have the agency to stand up and speak their truth. And their truth, you know, we have people sitting in our audiences with Make America Great Again hats on, sitting next to gang-affiliated youth, sitting next to Marines, sitting next to people experiencing homelessness. And they don't descend into shouting matches because I think we've all been moved to that place of shared discomfort by these performances and by this gospel music, which has the capacity to strike this chord of both sorrow and hope at the same time. It puts us in this place where we can hear each other for maybe an hour.
And also because it's free.
And it's free.
A better, I mean, honestly, that's how you get more diversity in theater.
I mean, would that we had 40 more minutes to talk about that, but I just want to say briefly, we are trying to disrupt the hierarchy of culture, not just by way of getting rid of talkbacks, but by saying, if this is important, if this is about something that touches your soul, it cannot be transactional. Because the minute it's commodified, then it becomes something else. Discussions mm-hmm. about black and brown suffering, communities that have been touched by racialized violence, cannot be commodified. It cannot be anything but free. And so the Stavros Niarchos Foundation, which has been our great benefactor and supporter, made it possible for us to do 50 performances. We have 25,000 seats to fill, all free, because as an article of faith, we believe that in order for it to work, it has to be free, but mm-hmm. being free isn't enough. So a huge portion of our budget is sending transportation into communities, NYCHA developments, homeless shelters, youth, the cure violence sites throughout the city. We call them our VIPs. We bring them in, we feed them dinner, we give them the best seats in the house, mm-hmm. and then without any expectation they do anything, then just listen and focus our attention on what we should be listening to, mm-hmm. because our belief is that the audience with skin in the game knows more than we do, and we need them to be in the room to actually have this exchange.
And it just makes such a difference. It makes a difference in having just a homogenous group of people, no matter how well-meaning they are, if they don't really have any, you know, it doesn't necessarily have, this sounds terrible to say, I don't mean it this way, but like meaning in their lives, like real meaning in their lives.
Or proximity.
Yeah.
This is about proximity.
Exactly.
How do we bring the privileged elite, who should also be in the room, into proximity with human suffering and the choices that they make and are complicit in, and the structures that they're complicit in, the suffering they cause.
Now, I know it's not traditional theater, but can I say break a leg to Jumaane?
Please.
Absolutely.
Jumaane Williams, break a leg tonight. My guests have been Jumaane Williams and Brian Dorries, artistic director and co-founder of Theater of War Productions. Antigone in Ferguson is playing May 8th through July 13th at St. Anne and the Holy Trinity Church in Brooklyn, and it is free. You've been listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Meet you back here tomorrow.